You're listening to the Sermon Podcast for Meadowbrook Church in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Good morning, everybody. Well, my name is Hunter. I'm one of the greeters here at Meadowbrook Church. And today we'll be reading out of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the seat in front of you. And for today's passage, that'll be on page 958. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And though his faith, through he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not be seen dead. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended by having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You may be seated.
Good morning again, everybody. Good morning, Meadowbrook Church. So thankful to be here today. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for a chance to be in your word again today, and I'm thankful for all that you're doing in this church and in this ministry. And Lord, I pray today as we open up Hebrews chapter 11, and I pray this in faith, believing and knowing that you're going to use this word to speak to us through your Holy Spirit individually the things that we need to hear from this passage. Father, would you open our eyes to see things we've not seen before? Would you encourage us and strengthen us? Would you use this text to conform us more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we as believers would truly live lives of faith? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get to chapter 11, we get to the last movement of the book of Hebrews. The first one was that Jesus is better, and there was this long list of reasons and people and things that Jesus was better than, which then meant the new covenant established by Jesus Christ was better than the old covenant. Not that the old covenant was bad, it fulfilled its purpose, but the new covenant is better. One of the more powerful things about the new covenant is it's clearly a covenant of faith. And so what we're going to see going forward is that faith, not just now, but has always been better than works of the law. That the law was never intended to save us. It was always intended to tell us that we needed a Savior because of our lack of faith. So what we're going to get here in chapter 11 is going to be a long list of people and circumstances in the Old Testament history. And if you really would like to have fun, you could study each one of these out one by one, and you could spend months in the Old Testament. You'd have a great overview of the whole Old Testament if you just studied this in great detail. I am not going to do that today. I'm going to read through the names and the things that they did, but I'm going to pull out of there a principle for each section. So today, if you're a note taker, an avid note taker, you might as well just say there's seven faith principles in this particular passage that we're going to pull out of here by looking at these particular messages or stories. The first three come in the first three verses, so it's going to feel like we're not making any progress. But the next four will come in the rest, so we'll speed it up at the end. So don't get scared that we're going to be here the rest of the day if, like, halfway through the service we're only at verse 3, okay? All right. So with that, we pick it up here in verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, this movement into the discussion of faith is not accidental, it's intentional. You might remember, as we finished up last week, there was this strong plea for us to have endurance, and it ended with this just great proclamation from the author of the book of Hebrews about the reader or the listener of this book. It says this in verse 39, "We are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. This wasn't an instruction. This wasn't a hope. This was a faith-based proclamation over the readers of this book. We are not the ones who shrink back. That's not who we are. We are going to be those who have faith and preserve our souls. And then he goes into now giving us this, as we're going to find out in chapter 12, this great cloud of witnesses who lived by faith throughout history. His first step, though, here in chapter 11, verse 1, is to define faith for us. And that'll be our first principle. The definition of faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And I love those two words that he uses there. Assurance, I'm just sure it's going to happen. Conviction, I know it's going to happen. That's what faith is. But it's not just about assurance and conviction about things that are super obvious and clear all the time. No, it's assurance for things hoped for, conviction for things not seen. And for us as believers in Jesus Christ, I want you to comprehend how powerful your faith is if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today. Just by a show of hands, how many of you have personally sat down and had a meal with Jesus Christ? Yeah, see, that's not really a thing that we do because we can't see him. And yet, and I tricked some of you because you thought, this is church, I'm supposed to raise my hand anytime he says Jesus. See, my bad. Yeah, he said Jesus, we raise our hand. No, but this is the deal. Like, Jesus ascended into heaven almost 2,000 years ago. He came back one little time to hang out with Paul. But other than that, like, none of us have actually seen Jesus. None of us have actually seen heaven. And yet, as believers in Jesus Christ, I'm speaking for myself, but I think I'm speaking for most of you, we are sure that Jesus is real. Now, it's not that there's no evidence. Of course there's evidence. But there's never going to be any better evidence than seeing somebody face to face. I would say this with great confidence. There's more evidence that Jesus Christ existed than Julius Caesar. There's more documented evidence of him. It's just clearer. Historically, we know he existed, but we have an assurance of this. We know it's there. We just know it's there. In the same way, when my parents would tell me, if you do this tonight, you will get that. If you trust your parents, you're just sure that they're going to do the thing they promised. Now, you're not always sure you're going to do the thing they've asked you to do, but you're sure they're going to do the thing that they promised you because they're your parents. You trust them. This is who we are as believers of Christ. We are assured of the things we hope for. And what do we hope for? Well, we hope for the forgiveness of our sins. We hope for eternal life. And we hope that someday when we stand before Jesus Christ, we can do so with no guilt or shame because Jesus paid it all. That's what we hope for. That is the conviction of the things not seen. It's why we live the lives we live. That's what faith is. Can I say it like this? That's why you're here today. Out of absolute conviction, I believe this is true, so I'm going to do something that the rest of the world seems to think is strange. I'm going to get early up early on a weekend. I'm going to put on slightly nicer clothes, which for me means I'm not wearing shorts today. You're welcome. I'm going to drag my family to the car, and we are going to go to church, and we're going to sit in this church, and we're going to sing songs publicly, which we don't do anywhere else, because that's just not normal. But we're going to sing them because we're singing to him. It's a conviction that I have. And then we're going to let somebody lecture me for 45 minutes on him, maybe 50, long chapter. We've agreed to do these things because we believe that this is true. We have faith. It is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. We know that we know that we know. We just believe. And that is this principle on which the new covenant is based. And that is the thing that God has always wanted from his people. He's always just wanted them to have faith in him. He's always wanted that. And where we stumble the most is when we have more faith in ourselves than we have in him. The principle that we need to gather is that we as believers have assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that honestly is the thing that many unbelievers really struggle with. And you'll hear people say that. Well, prove to me that God's real. And so you'll give them a whole bunch of apologetics explaining the logical consistency of the belief in God. And then they'll have to immediately say, well, unless I see a miracle, or unless I see God himself. You see, for some people, they're unwilling to take that step of faith. Now, I always like to say things to them like, that's really odd that you don't believe in faith, but you can't do any of the math that runs your car. You've taken that in faith, right? You believe that you're sitting on top of a tank of explosive chemicals. You're going to drive it all over town and hope that nobody hits you right. Hope that you're not driving a 1977 Ford Pinto and explode, right? Everybody has faith in something, but for some reason, for us, we have a faith, an assurance, a conviction of the things of God. That is the definition of faith. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And when you're sure of something and you're convicted of something, you will follow your assurances and your convictions. It begins to direct your life. Second principle found in verse 2. For by it, speaking of faith, for by it the people of old received their commendation. And I had to work all week to say commendation, not condemnation, because those are two completely different things. But my brain always likes to fill in the blanks when I read. And so as soon as that saw com there, it just fills it in with condemnation. That's bad. That's not what we received. By faith, the people of old received their commendation, like I commend you, like I congratulate you for wonderful things you've done. But in this case, you're being commended just simply for having faith. A commendation is not a word we necessarily use, but for me, because of my military background, I'm kind of used to this idea. We used to give out what were known as commendation medals. So if somebody did something extraordinary, did a very good job, sometimes that extraordinary thing was staying in the military for 10 years or whatever it was, but sometimes it was a specific incident, that their leadership would reward them with a medal called a commendation medal. And then each time you got a new one of those, they would put a new little device on there to show how many times your leaders recognized you as doing something amazing. Well, the Old Testament people that were recognized as amazing people by God, It was those people who walked in faith. For by faith, the people of old received their commendation. The thing that we oftentimes find most amazing about people is their faithful actions. It's the faith that would lead them to take the next step. It's their faith that would cause them to become a missionary. Yes, we're excited they're a missionary and they're doing those things, but the part that always blows us away is they had the faith to sell their house, sell their car, and move their whole family to another country where they don't know the language. It's the faith that moves them. It's the faith that runs the machine. These are the things that the people of old were commended for. We're going to get a long list of those people here in just a minute, but that was the thing that God recognized in those people. It was their faith that led them to be praised by God and by other people. In verse 3, we're starting now what is known as the Hall of Faith. And it's just going to list out all these famous people in the Old Testament. But I love verse 3 because the first people mentioned in the Hall of Faith is, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Now, I've shared this a number of times at a number of different places with lots of different people, and I've been surprised how many times I've listened to sermons on the Hall of Faith, and nobody mentions verse 3 as the first person in the Hall of Faith. By faith, we. Now, years ago, I had this website where this guy was making, before AI, making these really cool infographics about the Bible, and he was just putting them out there for free, and he made these PDF trading cards of the Hall of Faith. And so years ago, I went through the book of Hebrews the first time. This was a long time ago. I went through the book of Hebrews. I clipped out each one of those little trading cards and I put them on my slides and I got permission for them to use them in the sermon. But I just said, hey, I don't want to be mean to you, but I just want to point out you missed the first name in the Hall of Faith. You missed we. So understand, in a minute, we're going to hear about Abel and Enoch, and we're going to hear about Noah and Abraham and Sarah. And we're going to hear about all these amazing people, all of them, right? The first one on the list is we. By faith, we, as believers in Jesus Christ, by faith, we as Christians, understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. This is the first amazing thing about Christians. And it's one of the reasons I struggle sometimes when we try to get too science-y about creation, if that makes sense. That we try to have these debates with people when it comes to the issue of creation, and we're trying to somehow convince them of natural causes for all of these different things, when our point is none of this is naturally caused. All of this is caused by God. Now, we can debate the length of the life of the universe and all those things, and that's fine, but don't forget the in the beginning God. That, for me, is powerful. And I say it's powerful for me because that was one of the things that really cemented my early faith. When I first came to Jesus Christ, I came in what I would call ignorance. I really didn't know a whole lot about it. Somebody gave me a Gideon's New Testament. Actually, I got a bunch of them from the Gideons in a whole contest with a friend of mine. It's a whole thing. But the challenge was, he and I, because we challenged ourselves in everything, we were going to read the whole Gideon's New Testament. Neither of us made it through Matthew, just so you know. But I did find in the back of there the Lord's Prayer. Not the Lord's Prayer, a prayer of salvation. Just a simple prayer of salvation. And so I started praying that prayer of salvation every night because I'm like, wait, I can be forgiven of my sins and live eternally in heaven. That's a good deal. I don't care who you are. And so I just started praying that same prayer every single night, over and over and over. And eventually I think God was like, okay, I get it. And he introduced me to my Christian friend Scott, who started to take me to church. Well, this is high school. And in high school, you have all of these competing narratives going on in your life. You're trying to figure out this world as best you can. And one of those was science classes. Coach Lay was teaching us on evolution. I had my first crisis of faith. I didn't know what to believe. What I loved about this, Coach Lay laid this whole thing out for evolution. At the very end, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I can take all the ingredients that make up the universe. I can put them in a bowl and I can stir them together and I can shoot lightning through them, but I cannot create anything. I just can't do it. It's the old joke, right? A bunch of scientists go to God and they say, God, we've decided we don't need you anymore. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, we can make everything you made. He said, great, I created man out of dust. Go ahead. And they reach down for the dirt and he goes, that's mine. Right? It's just this reality. And it struck me at that moment that no, my faith is, it's based on this reality that nothing existed and now something existed. And I want you to understand, science believes that too. They don't know how to explain it, but they believe it too. It's just that their explanation is a little bit different. It's that two things that did not exist popped into existence, bumped into each other, and started a chain reaction that led to all of the universe, and eventually things began to have life in the ocean. That life crawled up on land, grew chest hair, and became us. That's science's explanation. And if you don't believe it, you're somehow weird. I think my explanation makes more sense. Because now when I walk outside, I see the entirety of it all. From the grass, the trees, the sky, the clouds, the water, the oceans, the streams. I don't see accidents of chance. I see design. And science itself tells me that everything created degrades over time, but what I'm seeing is everything getting better. In fact, evolution is self-refuting in that point. Because if everything really degrades over time, how do we ever improve things? Things have to be created. For me, it's a foundation of my faith. It strengthened my faith, and I think that's true for so many of us. It's why so many people think one of the best things you can do as a Christian is just get out in nature. Just observe the things that God has created. And it gives you a sense of God. In fact, the book of Romans makes that argument. The problem with us is instead of worshiping the Creator, sometimes we worship the creation. We, as believers in God, as people who by faith understand that the universe was created by God, we are the first people in God's hall of faith. And that's that first principle. By faith, we. This isn't just about them. It's about us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, you are commended because of your faith, because of your assurance and your conviction. You are part of the hall of faith, the most famous, faithful people in all of history. That's who you are today. Let's not forget it. It's not a small thing. All right, now we're going to put on the afterburners. We're going to make a little motion. We're going to hit some speed here. I'm going to give you a long list of names. In the middle of that, though, there's going to be this principle laid out for us that we're going to study for each of these sections. This first section starts in verse 4. It says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Well, now the list, the first list of names that we get here, some of these you might recognize. Right off the bat, we have a guy by the name of Abel and a guy by the name of Enoch. Both of those people responded in faith towards God, and it says that Abel was commended as righteous, and it says that Enoch was commended as having pleased God. And then it makes our next point, our fourth point about faith. It's without faith, it's impossible to please God. And this is one of those powerful things that we forget sometimes. The great thing about the Old Testament people was not so much what they did, it's why they did it. It's because they had faith. You might remember with Abel, he had a brother by the name of Cain. They both brought sacrifices to God. What's the real difference between the two? Although there's some other things you could look at, but what's the real difference? The real difference is one was brought by faith. That's it. Abel brought his sacrifices to God by faith. And because of that, it says that God commended him as righteous, which I think is interesting because we sometimes think to ourselves, these things only apply to New Testament saints. That faith leading to righteousness only applies to after Jesus. But no, the book of Hebrews says, no, it's always been that way. It's always been faith that has led us to righteousness. And he makes this powerful point, this principle number 4 here on our list is, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So all these people who think they're pleasing God by all their great works, if your motivation isn't faith, you can't please him. That's the thing that actually pleases God, that we would have faith in him, that we would be assured of him, that we would hope for him, that we'd be convicted about him, even though we've not seen him. That's the thing that makes us pleasing to God. Have you ever asked yourself the question, am I pleasing to God? It's really an interesting question to ask yourself because I know that I struggled for a while with this. I would ask this question like, am I pleasing to God or is God pleased or happy with me? And I would immediately begin to list out all of my failures and just get down on myself. I guess I'm not pleasing to God because I'm worthless. I'm a sinner. I do stupid things. Some things I just do that are foolish, not even stupid. I just didn't know how dumb it was until after it happened. I'm like, man, that was dumb. I just get so down on myself. But then I read this, and I know, now, wait a second. I'm pleasing to God not because I'm perfect and I do everything right all the time. I'm pleasing to God because I have faith in him. And I'm doing the very thing, the only thing I can do to ever be pleasing to him, and that is trust him. Now, that trust will lead to actions. It will guide us and direct us in our life. But that is the root. That's the kernel behind it all, to be able to trust in God. That's what faith is. And in that, he is pleased with all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. You might have a long list of things you hate about yourself, but all of those things cannot move the scale against your faith in Jesus Christ. He's pleased with you because you have faith in him. God is pleased with you. If you get nothing else out of this, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ today by faith, just take this with you wherever you go the rest of your life. God is pleased with you. And let that be the foundation that you work from. And I truly believe when that's the foundation you work from, the good things actually come after that. When you're standing on that firm foundation, you can build on that. But if your whole foundation is, oh, I'm such a failure, I'm an Eeyore Christian, I don't know, just keep messing up. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to keep spiraling down. But if your foundation is, the God of the universe is pleased with me, now I can stand a little stronger, a little firmer ground. Now I've got my feet under me to do the thing he wants me to do. Sorry, I almost became a football coach there. I was ready to go. Look out, we're ready. We got firm foundation now. Drilled into my head as a running back. Where's your foundation? Get down. Anyway, moving on. If you don't know the stories of Abel and you don't know the stories of Enoch, you can find them. I put the passages up there where you can look those up. But just know the thing that made those people pleasing to God was that they had faith in him. Now, it says something interesting at the end of this section here that I just want to point out. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, those are the two things, right? We believe God exists and we believe he's promised us eternal life. Those are the things that are pleasing to him. We believe he exists and he's going to reward us. That reward is going to be the next principle we'll see in this next much longer section. I don't even want to tell you how many verses it is before I start reading it. But we're going to get a long list of people, but each one of them has this kind of repeated phrase. They were looking forward to the reward. They were looking forward to something else. So let me pick it up here in verse 7. Again, lots of names, lots of stories, no time to cover them all. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that was his was to receive as his inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had no opportunity, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be blessed. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings with Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith, he kept this Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. Long list of names. All your Sunday school favorites are on that list, right? We have all these great people. We have Noah. We have Abraham. We have Sarah. We have Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. We have Moses and Moses' parents on here. All of these great people, all of these wonderful things that they did. And it started out with that phrase over and over, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Sarah, right? Faith is the thing that led them to do the things that they did. This is the great thing. But here's the thing that's repeated 3 times in that section. And this is the principle that we're looking at. They were looking for the reward. So we look here first in verse 10. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham was looking forward by faith in verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. And then again in verse 26, we see this. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. All of these people were looking past their circumstances to the promised things of God. That God had promised them something in the future. They looked past their circumstances, did whatever they were asked to do to get to God. Now I'm editing their stories a little bit when I say they did whatever God asked them to do, because we know that's absolutely not true, right? If you've studied the Old Testament, we know that each and every one of these people was flawed human beings who sometimes were very faithful. And sometimes they were not very faithful. Noah, he built the ark. Bill Cosby has a whole bit on it. It's great, right? And then he got drunk and passed out once the ark landed on dry land. Abraham, hero of the faith, followed God, was given the promised covenant of God to bless all the nations. He did amazing and wonderful things twice, prostituted out his wife to protect himself. Not a perfect man. Not a perfect man. But he did by faith do the things that God asked him to do. Sarah, wonderful woman of faith, except the first time she said that she was going to be pregnant, she laughed. Right. You know how old I am? And worse than that, you know how old he is? It's not going to happen. And yet, it did happen by faith. Eventually, she walked in faith. Not all of these people were perfect people. All of them had their issues, their struggles, and their problems. But the one thing behind them all was that by faith, they ultimately trusted God. By faith, Noah went and bought the wood to build the ark. By faith, Abraham eventually left where he was from and made the journey all the way to the promised land. By faith, these people ultimately acted, even though it wasn't perfect in every way. And I like to remind myself of that because that's really what it's like for us, isn't it? I think Keith and I were talking this morning and he was quoting another pastor, but he said, Christians are just stumbling towards righteousness or stumbling towards graciousness, stumbling towards heaven. Like we're making progress, but it looks like a 2-year-old walking. But we're getting there. That's just the reality, but it's the faith behind it all that gets us to take that first step and to move in the direction of the things that God has asked us to do. Each of them was looking forward to something else. They had a destiny that they were heading towards. For those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we have a destiny. As it's described here, it's a city that has foundations whose designer and builder is God. It is a better country. It's a heavenly one. It is a reward that is waiting for us. And so we stumble through this life as best we can, living out our faith, knowing that at the end of it, we've been promised a heavenly home, a reward of eternal life. And I'm not encouraging us to stumble. I'm just telling us we probably will. We probably will. I've been doing this Christian thing for a long time. You'd think I'd have it down by now, that sin would be in the past, that I'd never say a foolish thing. Nope. I'm hoping the regularity is better, like it's not as often as it used to be. The problem is the knowledge is higher. I should know better. And yet I still stumble, and yet I still struggle. But none of those things steal my faith. It is the one thing that has kept me consistent in my walk with God. It's that one thing that took me off the roller coaster of this life, because this life is a roller coaster. There's going to be ups and downs and curves that you did not see coming. By faith, though, what I see is this is where I am today, and this is where I'm going to be. And I just have to hang on. Just hang on until I get there. Just trust and believe in him until the very end. And sometimes the roller coaster takes a left, and sometimes I just jump off the thing. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just take the wrong turns in my life. But the whole time, my faith is entirely on Jesus Christ. That's the example that the author of the book of Hebrews wants us to see. And he wants us to be those faith examples to other people. But we can look forward to the greater thing that is coming. It's that assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. It's okay for us to live here looking forward to heaven. We should have an anticipation building within us. And it's a hard thing, I admit, because again, we've not actually seen heaven. We just haven't seen it yet. We've read some scarce details about what eternity looks like. The only things we can grasp is it's forever and it's perfect and Jesus is there, and if I have faith, I can be there too. That part I can grasp. So that's what I hang on to. But I can't even comprehend what the rest of it's like. I can't comprehend eternity. What does it mean day by day? Like there is no day in eternity, right? Because it's forever. So what is my experience going to be like every moment? What's it going to be like? I can't even comprehend. But I can trust God has it all figured out, and it's better than I would have ever imagined or come up with myself. And so I look forward to it. It's going to be better than anything I will ever experience here, so I look forward to it. And I can go through all the junk here because of what's coming later, the glory to come. See, this was the lie my football coach told me. He said, if you work hard and you exercise and you do all the drills and you run through practice and you work hard and do all this stuff, we're going to be great. Well, we never had a winning season my entire time in high school football. The glory never came. It's not like that with Jesus Christ. The glory will come. By faith, I'm convinced, I'm sure of it. It's coming for us. The clock is also coming for me. Verse 29. Again, another long list. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because they had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. You have this long list of people here who did amazing things, and he doesn't even get into the details of what most of them did. Again, it's an amazing situation when you list out these names, you remember them crossing the Red Sea and marching around Jericho and the walls falling, which again, I'm just gonna be self-aware of who I am. Day one, I might have marched. Day two, I probably would have grumbled, why are we just walking around this city? By the end of the week, I'm not even sure I would have shown up. Like, what are we doing? The walls fell down. They had to have the faith to actually get up and march around the city. They had to do it. I love my faith, Rahab. She's known as Rahab the prostitute. But I say she's better known as Rahab in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. When you look up genealogies of Jesus Christ, there's Rahab. That's powerful. By faith. Again, not perfect people, but by faith. Gideon, not a perfect person, cowering in a ditch. Over and over and over, like, yeah, are you sure, God? Are you sure? Man, he had enough faith to be in the hall of faith. There were some amazing things he did. Samson. The guy's whole life was sin and faith. He had these amazing moments of faith, but not a perfect guy. Here's what I love about this, though. This reminds me of the book of James. James says this, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's what these people did. You can't just tell people you have faith. Faith becomes evident when you move. Faith becomes evident when action actually follows. That doesn't mean the faith isn't necessarily there, but that's when it becomes evident to everybody, when you respond. And that's what these people did. These are just people like us. That's just who they are, just people who went to work every day like everybody else until the moment God asked them to do something, and they did it. And he did something amazing through them. That's what it comes down to. You think Gideon thought he was going to be amazing while he was cowering in a ditch, in a hole in the ground, trying not to be noticed even by God? And yet, became this amazing man. David. David had amazing moments, but he wasn't the perfect guy. You think when he was just out there, a shepherd in the field, just guarding my sheep, did he think that God was training him to guard God's sheep, the people of God in the future? He had no idea what God had for him. By faith, by faith, by faith. And then when God says go, they responded by faith. Faith is always followed by action at some point. It becomes evident, it becomes clear to everybody. And again, the great edit, God doesn't mention their failures. Maybe I should apologize because I mentioned them. God doesn't mention them at all. He just mentions these are great men and women of faith. The next section's a little harder. It is the last one. We'll pick up our final principle here in verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. So now you have this other list of things that happened to people. And on the list, you see things like death, torture, mocking, flogging, chains, imprisonment, being stoned, sawn in two, not just in a magic trick style, killed with the sword, wearing sheepskins, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, wandering around in the deserts. There were those people who suffered miserably in life, but were still faithful to the end. And it almost feels like he's taking a turn to the New Testament. It almost reminds us what we saw earlier in chapter 10, where he says that, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you have need of endurance. Faith promises a reward later. And so sometimes, because of our faith, there will be suffering here. And there's all kinds of suffering that happens to us. As faithful people, we withstand the difficulties until such a day as we receive the reward. That's what we do. And this world will bring difficulties to us, if you haven't noticed it yet. How many of you have lost somebody close to you through death? How many of you have been mistreated? How many of you have suffered Not even just for the cause of Christ, but just because you're a human being on this rock we call earth. There's real suffering. There's sicknesses. There's people who are going to sin against you. And the stronger you stand for your faith sometimes, the more resistance you get. And there are times in the history of the world, there are places in the world right now where people are literally put to death for their faith. And we would look at them and think, oh man, their life was wasted. And God would look at them and say, what a beautiful sacrifice. What a powerful example of faith. They would be commended, as it says in verse 39, through their faith. Now, I'm not asking us to try to get ourselves thrown in prison. I'm not saying, challenge of the week, let's see who can get sawn in two. Anybody? Like, that's not what we're saying here. What we're saying is, have the faith to stand no matter what comes your way. Have the faith to withstand any persecution that comes into your life. And you will be commended because of that faith. One little aspect at the end of this that he points out for us that's interesting. It says, they did not receive what was promised, since God provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. That they were waiting for future generations to join them. You think about Moses. Let my people go. He comes out, wanders in the wilderness for 40 years. All these obedient or disobedient people around him all the time. He gets frustrated, strikes the rock. God says, you can't enter the promised land. He didn't get to actually be in the land that he was bringing these people to. There is a better reward for him, a later reward that we were all building up to that came through all of these faithful people to bring us to Jesus Christ, to bring the gospel to the world, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, that they will enjoy their reward with us, with anyone who confesses Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? So let's confess Jesus Christ is Lord today. This is our standard practice at the end of the service. You can go ahead and put that next slide up there. And it's this. We're just going to say it together, that the resurrected Jesus Christ is Lord. Ooh, you beat me to it. Good job. Yeah, the resurrected Jesus Christ is Lord. That's where our faith stands. That's who we are as a people. All right. Just because I'm going to not be here next week does not mean you don't have to do your homework. Your homework is to read Hebrews chapter, to have a discussion with somebody about Hebrews chapter 11 this week so that you can build up your own faith, strengthen your own faith, and encourage and disciple them as you do it. And the second part of your homework is read Hebrews chapter 12 every day next week when it will be expertly exegeted for you by Ben. He's got it all set and ready to go, I'm sure. Or he will by Sunday, whether he knows it or not, right? It'll be ready to go. So excited about that. I'm going to be listening in online, so no pressure, but I'll not be checking your work. I'm here to be impressed by the things that God's going to speak through you next week. So that's your homework. Let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for Meadowbrook Church, for the people that are here, the people of faith in this church. This is an example of the Hall of Faith, that there are those who have done amazing things in your name. There are people who have suffered and still remained faithful. There are people who have been challenged and overcame their challenges by faith. In this church, there are people who have been steady and consistent in their faith for longer than I have been alive. Father, we're so thankful for this church. Father, as they have blessed me and received them, I want to pray and leave my blessing with this church as I go. Father, would you continue to use them and strengthen them and encourage them? Father, we love you, we thank you, and we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Meadowbrook Church Podcast. For more information about our church, visit meadowbrook.org.